Sabres Live is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Yeah, doing well. Just will probably miss a couple days of practice. So, nothing too serious.
That's the update on Rasmus Dahlin from Lindy Ruff this morning after the first of three practice sessions for this currently large, although not Toronto-sized large, training camp roster that the Sabres are putting out. Did you know, Marty, that the Maple Leafs have... did you know how many Maple Leafs are in camp? Take a guess
72,
how many...
72.
They have 42 forwards
yes,
in their
they
camp.
Have a very high number of players in camp, and might as well just invite everybody, give them that right. life experience.
Exactly.
Got to see Brian Burke at the NHL meetings, right? And yeah. I had heard him talk on radio about his job as a GM was to give players life experiences and post that he reminded me that he used the word postcards. Like, we want to give them postcards. So the Sabres are going to Munich. That's a postcard. Going to Prague. That's a postcard. I'm trying to give my players more postcards. You go to camp in Toronto, Duffer. That's a postcard. You get a Toronto postcard, to send out to your family and friends.
You're more likely to get a Rogers fridge magnet, but that's for another day. 42 forwards, 26 defensemen, 7 goalies for the Leafs. The Sabres have 32 forwards, 20 defensemen, and also 7 goalies. So maybe 7 is the interesting number to try to keep all these goalies employed. Plenty of PTOs with former yes. Sabre names attached today, which we may or may not get to on this Jack Quinn's 23rd birthday.
He's Jack not young had, anymore. Yes, he's not he young is. Anymore. He's 23.
In what world is 23 not young? Like, you and I are going to have major issues this year if you think 23 is not young.
In the word that I think of Jack Quinn as a young kid, right? Because I feel like he's still 19 or 20, and 23 is like a lot older than 19 or 20 years old. So I'm saying when you pass your jersey number, you're not young anymore. My jersey number was 43. When I got to 44, I was not young anymore. I think he's gotten to 23. That's one more than 22. I'm going to say he's not young anymore. That's the way it goes.
Well, 22 is 23, and yet 26 is the talking point based on the injury update. What do you yes. take from the rough news on Rasmus Dahlin?
Okay, basically the soundbite was he's doing well, going to miss a couple of days of practice, so nothing too serious. Great. It would have been a really, really tough morning if Lindy Ruff had come up to talk to the media and said, Dahlin is week to week, because we know what that means. Week to week almost means a month or two, and we're looking at a long time without Rasmus Dahlin. So a couple days of practice. Look, really, to be honest with you, Rasmus Dahlin doesn't have to play any preseason games. He can go on October 4th
right.
if he wants to.
That's not
the way I look at it.
Well, do you remember last year and the players that were not integrated into the mix, i.e. Connor Clifton and others who didn't play preseason games and then the start that they got off
to?
I'm not comparing Dahlin to Clifton. I'm saying in the way this is structured right now, I think based on their... grouping already and what they are clearly trying to accomplish. Look, we've debated all summer who's playing with who on the blue line. And I get it. You could say it doesn't matter who you put with Rasmus Dahlin. It does matter who you put with Rasmus Dahlin. If their focus is on getting guys together and getting chemistry, then I think it matters that he plays some preseason games.
Okay. If he's 100% healthy and you're like, Dahlin doesn't need to play preseason games, I'd agree with you. If he's not 100% and you're not going to play him Saturday night, you're not going to play him Monday, you're going to go to Red Bull in Munich next Friday, a week from tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Is he okay to go? If he's okay to go, he plays that game. That's the only one. But if he's not 100%, he's not playing in that one. And I'm like, that's fine. Like, I want him health priority. He's going to play with Owen Power or Bo Byram or Henry Yokiaru. He's played with all three of them. It's fine. So if he was 100% healthy, I totally agree. If he's not, I'm saying he's the least of my concern if he gets to October 4th and hasn't played any preseason action. Do I want to see 95 to 99.9% of the regular play Saturday night? Yes. Do I want to see 95 to 99.9% of the regular play next Friday? Yes. to be ready for October 4th? Absolutely. It's already a limited amount of preseason games for the group to play together. So I want to see them play in those two preseason games. But when it comes to Dahlin with this injury, I'm saying it's not at the top of my priority list. Oh, I want to see Dahlin in preseason. I'm going to say get him healthy. And the way Lindy Ruff talked, it wasn't that concerning, that serious. So I think you'll probably give it a go knowing Rasmus Dahlin next Friday against Red Bull, but definitely not worried about him Saturday or even Monday. I wouldn't put him in there.
I was only reacting to your comment.
No idea. Yes.
That you didn't think it was important for
him to be in the waking me up this afternoon. I was a little sleepy going into the show, and now you just, you took your your finger and you jab me in the side like Robert Ray likes to do every time he sees me. He grabs my love handles and he says, Marty, you're getting old, man. So, yeah, you got me going right in the side there in the kidney.
Well, hey, we try to keep reminding people that words are important and, you know, clarity might help a situation. But I also, not to jab or prod or poke at here, but I didn't really get anything even close to affirmative or confident from you in what you believe is the right pairing for Rasmus Dahlin. When you just rattled off, well, he could play with this and play with this and he could play with this, well, and it doesn't matter. I do think at the end, like, maybe I still have an old, I don't even know if it's an old school obsession. Maybe I still have a small obsession with, it's nice to have a partner. And especially when, and like we talked about this, obviously, we've talked about it every of the 6 years of Dahlin's career. From the moment he stepped in as an 18-year-old, you know, would it be better? Would it be nice to, I asked these questions to Ralph Krueger and Phil Housley and
Tom. We're going back. We're going back here, people.
But like, and I get it. There's no cut and dried answer, right? Should he have had a 32-year-old veteran defenseman with him at all times when he was 18? I don't know. I've liked Rasmus's career. Most people have. Most people have nothing but incredible praise for this amazing talent and gifted cerebral player that Dahlin is, not to mention his competitive juices, which are, you know, when you marry that with the skill set that he has, it's always a reminder of why he was a first overall pick. But I'm still curious and wanting to know, like, who you think and who others think he should actually be playing with most of the time.
So I feel like the Sabres' first thought was Dahlin Power. When they got on the ice yesterday and the way that the structure was yesterday, it feels like it was Dahlin with Owen Power. And then today at practice, we saw everybody being kind of elevated. So Byram, who was with Joki Aho yesterday, elevated to be with Power. Samuelson, who was with Clifton yesterday, elevated to be with Joki Aho. Bryson, who was with Gilbert yesterday, elevated to be with Clifton. And Ryan Johnson got up to the main group. So those are like the elevation. So it tells me Dahlin and Power were the pair that was going to go together. Now, funny enough, I just pulled a really quick last season 5-on-5 Corsi percentage, right? Shot attempts percentage differences with teammates. When Dahlin was playing with somebody or without somebody, the number one defenseman that he had most success with when it comes to shot attempt difference is Owen Power. They had where is it now? 60.1% with Owen Power when you look at the Corsi percentage. So that's number one. Number two is Henry Joki Aho at 55%. So there was a 5% difference with Owen Power and Henry Joki Aho. And then after that, Bo Byram was pretty low. But the sample was a little smaller, too, in the way that they were, you know, just from the end of the trade deadline on. But originally, I thought Dahlin, Joki Aho, Power, Byram. That's how I looked at it. You know, I looked at I think Yoki Aryu, especially in the second half last year, after a tough first half where he didn't even know if he was playing sometimes, what was going on there, how much ice time he was going to get. I looked at Yoki Aryu playing really well in the second half and playing well with Rasmus Dahlin in the second half. So that would have been my pairing, Dahlin, Yoki Aryu, Byram with power. But that's because your top four is your top four. That is your top four. You can interchange all these pieces. You can play Dahlin with power and Byram with Yoki Aryu and see what you got. The numbers tell you Dahlin had his best on ice, puck possession, shot attempt percentage with Owen Power. So if you pull the analytics and you say, okay, what are we going to start with? That's probably the way to go. But I still think that we're going to see some movement in the top four with a healthy Dahlin and with power Yoki Aryu and Byram.
Which defenseman, if this is even possible to answer, is it most important to have a consistent partner with? Like when you look at, again, Byram was limited.
I think it's Bo Byram.
Yeah?
I think it's Bo Byram that needs to have a more consistent partner with. And the reason why I said is that I believe Bo Byram could be more of an offensive defenseman that what we may have seen. He has all the tools. But when he was in Colorado, you had Kel McCarr playing with Devontae's. Those two took a lot of the offense, a lot of the power play, a lot of the top lines with Nathan MacKinnon minutes. Mm-hmm. That Byram was kind of like put on this, you know, second shelf here. It's not top shelf liquor here. It's second shelf liquor. We have McCarr and Devontae's up there. I think Byram and Buffalo, if you give them that really steady, consistent partner and you say, look, I want to see more offense out of you, Bowen, and I want you to really work with your partner as to the chemistry when you go. How does that affect your partner and be able to really gel and build that chemistry together? Mm-hmm. That's why I think it's Bo Byram, because he's the one that hasn't been here as long. And I feel like he has another notch in his identity, especially offensive identity, that he can get to.
Yes. I mean, I have to assume that the end goal of all this focus on defense is to actually improve the offense, right? You hear it from Lindy in every answer as far as what the drills are meant to do, which is be in the proper place to not surrender the types of goals that they gave up last year. But yes, when you do that with everything and how this roster is constructed among its top four defensemen and especially its top six or seven forwards, it should lead them to be way more aggressive on the attack and the counterattack, which could get them somewhere between where they ended up offensively last year and where they were previously, which was third best overall, right? Like that has to be the goal. And so I think Byram specifically can benefit from this type of positioning and help, right? Because he came into a real tough spot last year. Like first of all, they were already challenged offensively.
Yes.
And the trade featured Casey Mittelstadt, which made them even more challenged offensively based on how things were going last year, right? And after a few games, it was not like the most productive pairing with him and Dahlin. So I don't know. I
think the first couple of games was good, and then it kind of slipped a little bit, and it was.
But it was good in the first game, but they lost that game, if memory serves, to Nashville, did they not? So it wasn't even like it was this game-changing production and pairing, right? And obviously that's not to put blame on the pairing. It's just stating a fact that it didn't start like they were up here. It was what it was. So
Byram's offense with the Colorado Avalanche in his full seasons, right? Like 2020, mm-hmm. 2021 was a COVID bubble year. He only played 19 games, had two assists, but he was a 19-year-old kid that year. Mm-hmm. Like he wasn't going to go to juniors. He stayed up there, actually went to the World Juniors. But his first full season in Colorado, 17 points in 30 games, more than half a point per game. Mm-hmm. His second full season, 24 points in 42 games, just slightly above a half a point a game. And mm-hmm. then last season with Colorado, 20 points in 55 games, which is like lower than a half a point a game. So he went from a good above half a point a game average to just over half a point a game average to under half a point a game average. I feel like a lot of that is the presence of, like I said, Cale Makar. Now, Byram could be a 55, 60 points during the regular season.
If he was a number one.
I still think he can.
Like, if he didn't have two number one defensemen in this group of six ahead of him, sure. Like, I could.
Okay. But here's the really good question here, because I think there's more offense out of Rasmus Dahlin than Bo Byram. Absolutely. But I think there's more offense out of Bo Byram than Owen Power. And so Owen Power now is the one that I say has to start to maybe change the way that he sees the game. You got the offense from Dahlin. You get the offense from Bo Byram. Owen Power, what is your role now? I think that's another aspect of it, because I haven't seen the offense out of Owen Power, but he's young.
It was higher than Byram last year, right? Points per game.
Byram had 9 points in 18 games in Buffalo. So
season, not the Sabre sample. But even then, the Sabre sample was probably pretty close.
Sabre sample was pretty close. I'm going out to pull it up now.
I think you're forgetting that we had this major discussion / revelation earlier in the summer when I said, what if, now I was pie in the sky when we were talking 50, but we ended up settling on what if this team has three defensemen at 40 points or higher?
Yes.
And my clear focus was this team takes a massive step forward if Owen Power is all of a sudden a 50 to 60 point defenseman, because I'm assuming Dahlin is going to be between 70 and 85 when the going gets good. And then if Byram is picking up the scraps of that and is still, let's say, between 35 and 42, you're not going to find many comparable defense groups as far as where that offensive push is coming from.
And no, you're not. You're not. That's a very tough thing to beat. But I think for me, I have it swapped. I think Dahlin is an 80 to 90 point, like a point a game type of guy. Plays all 82, he gets 85 points. I think the next step is Bo Byram. I think Byram is a 50 to 60 point guy. And I would like to see Power of 40 to 50. He had 33 last year. Right, he had 35 the year before. I think going to 40 would be a step, but Byram to me can be a 50 to 60 point guy. Like, that has to be, give him a partner and a stability and a consistency where they can play together, where Byram can provide the offense on that pairing and the other player can understand the responsibility. And I probably think that's why they thought Dahlin with Power and Byram with Jokiarju. Jokiarju has been that security blanket for Dahlin before, right? He's been the guy saying, hey, Ras, go out, get points, join the rush, I'll back you up.
Samuelson, though.
So was Samuelson for a long time.
As far as if you were to canvass a casual fan, you know, who does Dahlin typically play with, right? Some are going to automatically default to Jokiarju. Some are going to default to Samuelson, right? So,
but Sammy can't play the 20 minutes that Bo Byram is going to play.
Do you know where I'm sitting right now?
You're sitting by our set.
Yes. And so what does that mean to you? It means,
You're cold on the 200 level.
Yes. And I'm also in almost the exact position that we will be at 6:30 on Saturday night here on MSG, because we're going to do a full broadcast of the first preseason game, right? So why don't you get ready to canvass every single person that comes in on the 200 level here at KeyBank Center and say, who should Dahlin be partnered with? And then once we figure out Dahlin's partner, we're going to have a little more clarity on the next four in line to round out the group of six.
Yeah, but I think the idea for me was to play Dahlin with Jokiarju, because I feel that Joki has been a safety security blanket to Dahlin, and he can play more minutes. Samuelson, with all the injury that he's had, I feel like, okay, let's give him 16 to 18 minutes a night. Let's not go 20 to 22. Mm-hmm. Let's really put him in that place, and maybe he's more on a penalty kill than, you know, that's his responsibility as a third pair guy. So if it was Dahlin with Jokiarju and Byram with Power, I'd be comfortable. But now that we are discussing it, and that's what the coaches do all summer long, right? Mm-hmm. They're discussing it. And they're like, okay, but what if we want Byram to be the 50 to 60 point guy. And by doing so, we have to give him that security safety blanket, which is not Owen Power.
And a contract.
And a contract, yes. Yes, but that's, I'm the coach. Know. I don't care about contract. I'm the, Kevin Adams on line one. Hello, don't play him. Don't get him 50 to 60 points. Yeah, okay, I'm hang
kidding,
up, right?
Obviously. Yes.
I know you are. Yeah. But that's, players laugh about that all the time. But if I want to give Byram the security blanket, then Power goes with Dahlin. Well, Power, you got to reinvent yourself if you're playing with Dahlin. You got to be the stay-at-home guy.
And we're obviously getting immediate response on X about this. And it's true where there is, like, I think a lot of people are like, yeah, Dahlin and Yoki. But then in the makeup of the left-right world that we live in, much has been talked about how Dahlin plays the right or yes. is comfortable, would prefer to. Insert it, that comment, however you want, because we've heard them all over the course of his time so far in the NHL. But if you do that, then you don't need him to be with Joakim Harju because he's now on the right side. So I don't know.
Again, that's probably the debate that the coaches have had and said, hey, if we don't need Dahlin on the left and Joakim Harju on the right, and we feel like Dahlin can give us more on the right, because I have liked Rasmus Dahlin on the right as well, much more than Owen Power on the right. Owen Power, I saw him at Michigan 1 year. I went to Yost Arena. It's Yost, right? That's the way you say it, I think, in at Michigan. So anyway, I went over there and I watched him and he was everywhere. He was in the right corner, left corner, offensive zone, right side, left side. College was different. You know, at the NHL, I've not been in love with Owen Power playing the right side. I like Owen Power in the left better. Dahlin, I've loved him on the right side. So I think that's fine. That's a really good point by Solmander 8, I think that is.
That's so, why I don't identify. I know people will know when we're referring to their comment on X without identifying them by their handle, which is usually a ridiculous task that ends in a Yost type of situation.
It is where, Yost with a Y, so it's not a Yost with a J, so I'm good. I got it. Woohoo! One for one on Thursday.
And the reason we unexpectedly just exhausted 22 minutes in honor of Jack Quinn, number 22, and his 23rd birthday, the reason we were talking about the defense and how it ended up going down that path is Dahlin absent today. Lindy Rupp provided the update early. Nothing too serious, likely to miss a few days. So it is what it is, but we still obviously have a long racetrack to go as it pertains to the preseason, which starts Saturday here. There's actually a scrimmage tomorrow amidst the three groups. Now, they won't be three teams, obviously, but we will await with great interest how they will divide and have a little scrimmage tomorrow just to get the guys more involved. And I
was wondering how that was going to work, because as a goalie, not that I need a scrimmage to get ready for a preseason game, but because we've done shinny games like 3-on-3, 4-on-4, 5-on-5, but I still want a bit of the next step, right? Like you go from your shinny 3-on-3, 4-on-4, 5-on-5 in the summer to a couple of intense days of practice, testing, whatever. I want the next step before a game. Like, can we get a semblance of a scrimmage? I was wondering with the compressed camp how that was going to work. So looks like tomorrow is a scrimmage. It's going to allow Luukkonen and Levi and Reimer and whoever, right, to maybe get some somewhat game action before Saturday and Monday's preseason games and then flying out to Europe.
Right. You have two home preseason games. Saturday, as we just mentioned, where we are on the air at 6:30 for pregame coverage on MSG. And, of course, the Monday game is now a later afternoon tilt against Columbus. As opposed to it's a 5 o'clock start, correct?
We moved it to 5 because the Bills play Jacksonville Jaguars on Monday night.
No, that's not the reason they did it. They did it to get their body clocks in tune with going as early as humanly possible before they travel. Okay, go with the Bills excuse. I don't care.
Yeah, I'll tell you this. I went to Europe to start the 2011-12 season with the Rangers.
Yes.
My body clock was perfect for the first 4 days. And then after that, it got screwy.
Really?
Like, I don't know why. Like, I got there and
over there? How did that impact all of this?
We went to dinner late and we stayed up late, but maybe that's why. And then I tried to get back to my regular sleeping hour time and wake up time, and I got all messed up. The first 4 days, I was perfect. And then after that, I was loopy.
Wasn't that your agent?
Yeah, big Gilles Loupian, Loopy. But I wasn't L-U-P-I-E. I was L-O-O-P-Y.
Also Loopy. A big fan of Youpi. So you have woven all that together here in the first half hour of the show. We have a lot to get to because there are tons of stories around. I was going to say, though, then the thing about tomorrow and having a scrimmage, and I think I just said, you know, get more involved. I didn't mean it in the – obviously, they're super involved in all their sessions right now.
Yeah.
But – there's also the very clear structure of this camp where it's the Sabres and then the team, the players that are not.
And then the boat of us, the boat of the rest of us,
the boat of us. The white group and the gold group that are not part of the blue group. Yeah. But I say it in the involved standpoint because you do have to and want to have these groups that have been practicing second and third every day, right? You want to have some of them involved, wouldn't you say?
There's going to be a preseason game on Tuesday, and then
organizationally, like we all know why the Sabres are doing what they're doing.
Yeah,
but you've lived these training camps. You still have to try to present opportunity, right, for everybody? Or am I amiss on this? Like everybody knows the reality.
I would say yes. I would say you have to give opportunities to
many. And you're
many.
Right. They will get those in the preseason games.
They will get them, but in different settings. Again, going to Europe with the Rangers, we had our team starting practice day one. Torts was barking order day one. It was the same feel. It wasn't day one of training camp. It was day one of our season, and let's go. And then we went to Europe. They didn't even bring a third goalie that was competing or getting. They brought a third goalie that was a junior guy because they wanted the other guys, the AHL guys, to be able to get their reps in Hartford in the AHL and play their preseason games. Like their focus with the Rangers was our guys, they're on the pedestal, and the rest of you, well, we'll get to you later. I'm not saying that's what the Sabres are doing now, but that was the feeling as a player I got when I was with the Rangers.
No, and I think the reason why it feels unfortunate for the other groups is because of how much time we spend talking about the high draft pedigree of some of these players, right? The Oslins of the world, just as one example, that aren't with the main group, where normally at this time of year, you'd be like, oh, I can't wait to see him with, and that's just the reality. And it's fine, and it's important, and it's clear.
Next Wednesday and Thursday, we'll be talking about them a lot more because we'll be watching them a lot more.
Yeah, lots to get to, probably more on the Sabres. Kyle Okposo has retired, and tons of news from around the NHL. We'll obviously look forward to seeing you here on Saturday, when the rink is open up for preseason game number one. It's the Sabres and Penguins here on MSG. And of course, we want to see you here throughout the entirety of the season. Single game tickets are now on sale. All you have to do is hit up sabres.com/tickets. There are 40 home games this year because, of course, one is not available. It will be part of the Europe games as Buffalo begins the year with technically a home and a road tilt in Prague on October 4th and 5th. But the home season begins at KeyBank on October 10th. Look forward to seeing you then. And of course, more on Sabres Live after this.
We're back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
I just want to be trusted in all situations. Guy that's relied on defensively and offensively, and I think I have that now. It's just about using that. So I'm really excited to get going here and establish myself as the player I know I can be.
Dylan Cousins, as camp continues. 2 years ago, he had 31 goals, 68 points. Last year, 18 goals, 47 points. This year, a new coach. Your expectation for Cousins is?
Well, I want it to be closer to 2 years ago. I'd like to see 25 to 35 goals. And I know it's a wide margin, but what type of role will Lindy entrust in Dylan Cousins is one thing. Like if Cousins is out there shutting down the other teams and is doing well at going against Well, let's see, the Panarin line with Zibanejad or whatever, and playing against the number one lines on the other side and having a defensive role, 25 goals would be awesome. But if you're going to go toe-to-toe Thompson with the top lines, and that frees up Cousins and Quinn, and who knows if it's Kulik and
Benson's been out there a lot with him right now. Yeah.
Like if it's that, then okay, you got to get to 30, 35 to be able to fill in the role that you have to do. And I like how he says, I want to start fast. I want to, you know, set myself in a good way. Last year was a miserable start to the season for Dylan Cousins, in my opinion. And, well, and the loss of Jack Quinn was not easy because Quinn, Paterka, Cousins had done so well that maybe that's what he expected to start with, and it just changed everything.
Thank you. We're on the same page as per usual. Quinn, of course, the birthday boy, which we've acknowledged earlier in the show, but Quinn with Cousins and whomever is on the other side, that's part, a huge part for me of evaluating what Dylan Cousins is this year under Lindy Ruff, because it's not for me just what Cousins' individual totals will be. It's what will his line mates post, right? And if Cousins is somewhere in between the 47 he had last year and the 68 the year before, that's fine. I just think there's great potential for whoever's on either side to also be very close to 25 and 30 goals respectively. It's like what I talked about when McLeod joined the organization. I'm like, if Ryan McLeod can take another step because he may seemingly have a bigger role on this team, if he becomes a 40-point player, then that to me means could be the most we've ever seen out of Greenway production-wise, and or it's more likely to represent that Zucker's back to being a 20-goal guy like he's been before in his career. And these are all collectively, like, necessary things for to happen, right, for this group to get where it needs to get to.
So because we're all sports fans and we know Shohei Ohtani is chasing the 50-50 and there's guys in baseball chasing 40-40.
And
which
by the way,
great.
He's already at 48-48 and no one's ever done that before. So we don't need to have round numbers. It's the greatest.
I just like the round numbers. I'm a round number guy. So I like say scoring 69 goals for Matthews last year was great. 70 would have been so much better. It's a round number. I love it. But I think, like, you look at Dylan Cousins, 30-30. Like, that's two big round numbers. It would be 60 points. Is 60 points the 68 he had 2 years ago? No. But is it much better than last year? Yes. So there's the round numbers, 30-30 for Dylan Cousins. That would be the expectation. Can it be 25-35? Can it be 32-28? Whatever. Yeah. But if he's 30-30, that means Jack Quinn is probably getting close to 30-30 as well, which that means we're going in the right direction.
Yep. Absolutely. And, you know, the similarities between quotes at this time of year, it does feel a little repetitive. And this is not a Sabre thing. This is a sports thing. But sometimes within that, you do have to focus on the individual and try to feel like what their level of accountability is. For this coming season and how much they're putting on themselves to, you know, and I think Quinn, he's a quieter one of many of the players on the team, but I can't imagine there's a player in that group, any of these groups, all three groups that are skating each day. I can't imagine that there is a player who is expecting to have a massive role on this team, a more massive role. Then Jack, honestly, I just think this kid is so driven.
When Jack Quinn was on the ice last year, it just felt
but
different.
Even if it wasn't, like, even if, like, you were to break it down wins and loss wise, like, because like it doesn't always translate.
No,
right?
It doesn't.
So you but you know exactly what I'm saying here, right? Because it's not a numbers thing. I think there's a personal, oh my gosh, I didn't play in nearly enough games to help this team, right? Yeah. And I get it. You can't control this. And every young player that does struggle with some injuries goes through this and the weight of not being there to help your teammates. But I think in a positive way, I think Jack Quinn is absolutely in the right position to be able to tackle this year head on.
Here's what I was dreaming about last night, okay? I was dreaming of a power play one because Darlene talked about when there was questions from the audience at FanFest on Saturday. Mm-hmm. Somebody talked about the power play, and Rasmus says, well, 2 years ago, we just fed Tage Thompson the puck for one-timers, and then about Christmas time, teams adjust, and we didn't adjust, and our power play started to slip 2 years ago. And we know that. We've discussed it on this show, Duffer. Mm-hmm. Second half of 2 years ago, power play wasn't great. Last year, power play wasn't great. They didn't adjust. I was dreaming of Dahlin as the quarterback, Tage in his usual left flank position with the one-timer, and then Tuck and maybe J.J. Paterka in the middle of the ice as, you know, righty, lefty, whatever. You're going to switch front net front presence and bumper depending on what side the puck is. Mm-hmm. But Jack went on the right flank. Even though he's a right-hand shot, I think he can do that. Fake coming in, slide the puck across to Thompson on the one-timer. He's got the great shot to keep everybody honest. Like, we can't just not pay attention to Jack Quinn. If he's going to attack the middle of the box, we have to converge to him. Yes. And that allows Dahlin to maybe come in, Tuck to open up, Paterka to open. I was dreaming of Jack Quinn on the right side. I wasn't really dreaming. I was just like watching TV and my mind just wandered to another dimension. But Jack Quinn on the right side and Thompson on the left on the power play. And now I'm like, oh, well, there's a Jack Quinn effect right there. Like, he not just on the 5-on-5 and Dylan Cousins. Maybe that, that leaks into the power play.
All right, see if you can do this 20 seconds or less on all of these rapid-fire NHL topics. Robin Lehner's situation in Vegas with him not reporting is causing speculation that maybe Vegas will get out from under his cap hit this year, where they've had to stat. Yeah, they probably don't care as much about the money. Easy for me to say. I'm not the owner, but it is Vegas after all. What do you think is going to happen here with the, like, are they going to end up putting him back on long-term, or do you think that they're going to escape the need for long-term IR for Leonard?
This is a lot of noise, but I would assume that it's going to be Robin, show up, get evaluated, then they'll put you on long-term IR. He didn't show up. Everybody has to show up, but
he won't be reporting, though. That's the thing from the GM, Kelly McCrimmon. He will not be reporting through the club this
doctor.
Year.
The PA is going to send a doctor to him. The PA is going to say, listen, he doesn't have to go there, put himself through this mental hurdle, because we know Robin has struggled with mental health, and he's had it really to, and maybe that's the reason. I mean, unlike if I'm bedridden because I have a bad back, you're going to send a, you know, I can't take a plane to Vegas. You're going to send a doctor to me to get evaluated. Well, maybe to him, that's going to trigger something bad and he doesn't want to go through it. They're going to send a doctor to him, be cleared. It will be fine.
Jeremy Swayman will sign when with Boston?
November 30th. That quote, I still can't believe Don Sweeney said, we're confident he will sign by December 1st. Like, if you miss two months of the season without Jeremy Swayman, you're not making the playoffs, Boston Bruins. It's not happening with
Corpusalo. You know what? They're a good enough team that they will be fine with Corpusalo in the short
term. Not happening. This is not Tampa with Jonas.
I know. So I'm asking the question, when is he going to sign? Because you're not serious. You're not serious about that.
Donnie Sweeney is digging his heels in, and he's not giving them anything. And then when it's too late, Willie Nylander was the same thing. He signed very late, right, with the Leafs?
You really – you're being honest here with our audience that you think Swayman is going to miss 2 months?
I'm honest that Swayman wants his money, and Don Sweeney is digging in. And
I'm glad I asked the question.
Angry at the media yesterday. I'm like, he's mad at the whole thing.
Carter Verhaeghe will remain a Florida Panther beyond this year.
Nope.
Well, he wants to.
Carter Verhaeghe is the guy that is always like, well, you're great, but we don't have the space. So he's going to move on after this year's contract.
Thatcher Demko is supposed to talk later today. The GM admitted yesterday he doesn't know whether they will be looking for another goaltender in season here based on Demko's status. Do you think Demko provides incredible clarity later today? And do you think Vancouver adds another goaltender to help Artur Shelov's?
I think Vancouver is going to explore that. I don't think we'll get tons of clarity from Demko other than he'll like evaluate or update everybody. That injury in the playoffs last year was a non-play. He just slid across at the end of a game, 30 seconds left. They were winning and everything. Mm-hmm. And you mentioned it to me first. You said, did you see Demko not celebrating with anybody? He went right to the room. And I had to go back to the video, and I saw him reverse VH tweak his knee without anybody. It was a His own player skated around the net with the puck, right? That's what he did. It was really weird. So these injuries scare me because there was no, like, legitimate contact.
I'll remind the audience, we're trying for 20 seconds or less on each of these topics.
I threw your side of the story with the whole thing. There's another 20
Dustin
seconds.
Dustin Tokarski, PTO with the Sens. Does he play a game in the NHL with Ottawa this year?
No.
Okay.
No, they'll try young guys if they have to call somebody up.
Okay, we just bought some time. Yes. Avalanche, starting the year potentially without Landeskog, Lekkonen, and Nichushkin. Do you think it will be a challenge for them?
No, I think that the Colorado Avalanche have MacKinnon and Makar, and Georgiev, I think, is going to bounce back with a good year now. They have Justus Enninen as his backup, and he showed last year he can do it. Drew Wayne may have more ice time, more opportunities. It's on him to perform.
Evander Kane will miss how much of the upcoming season after announcing that he will need six parts of him fixed surgically? Two sports hernias and four muscle tears, as he now will go under the knife very soon to rectify all of these issues.
So I think January 1st is when we will see Evander Kane come back. Wow. I know, I get it's two sports hernia and muscle tears and
it's
all
like
that.
Superman, I think, if
but
he comes back that soon.
Sports hernia is about 10 weeks. So I'm saying it's going to be about 3.5 months. I say middle of January.
I think Nashville's done tinkering, because I was reading today that Barry Trotz might still be angling to make another move. And the article suggested that if he does go in this direction, Dante Fabro might be a piece that they would consider moving after the, the deals that they've made on their blue line. And I'm like, Nashville should be all in this year. I don't know if you want to move off of Fabro at this point, but what do you think of that?
I think Barry Trotz is a riverboat gambler as a general manager, which he was never as a coach or, you know, involved in, and he was very conservative. I like the approach, but I don't think Nashville is moving right now unless they start with a really tough first month of the season. I think they're done. They only have $600,000 under the cap right now. And if they move Fabro at 2.5, well, okay, you can go get a $3 million player, but it's not getting a $6 million guy.
All right. Who signs first, Perfetti or Mercer? Winnipeg, New Jersey.
Yeah. I'd like to think it's Mercer, but I feel like Mercer can demand a little bit more. Perfetti should sign.
Okay. The Stemko thing, is that new? He's going through some movements at Canucks. What does that mean?
He's going on the ice early before, you know, everybody go. And he's doing his, like, Carey Price did that for a long time. Carey
Price
stopped
some shots,
did that for a whole
year. Oh, my
gosh.
Yeah. This is wild.
Well, Carey Price couldn't go down. Like, he was stopping shots on his feet. He couldn't go down butterfly because he had the knee injury, the surgery, the whole thing. So going on the ice is...
Hang on. We got to go. We're going to be back right after this on Sabres Live.
We're late.
We're back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
The latest Thatcher Demko update is that he was facing shots from his goalie coach and he stopped every single one of them. So maybe
he was going down butterfly. He was not just standing up. I saw.
Okay, well, let's hope for the best for Demko. And we have just about a minute to go to reflect on Kyle Pozzo's official retirement from the NHL.
Yes, congratulations on obviously winning the cup, retiring. He was a teammate of mine when I was with the New York Islanders and was always a stand-up guy. I was a captain here and everybody loved him everywhere he's gone. And there's a good reason for it. He's just a very good person.
Yes, I
agree. Great family.
Think.
So to his family, right. To Danielle, the kids, we congratulate all of you because it takes a whole town for a guy like Kyle.
Yes. Now, Howard Simon is going into the Buffalo Broadcasters Hall of Fame tonight.
That's why we were late for the break.
Do you
we
believe
want to honor him.
That his appearance replacing me last year for a few games on MSG was, in fact, the great feather in his cap to conclude.
I think
his
so.
Career.
I think they put a bunch of clips from his time at Fan TV and his morning show, and then they put the clip from the broadcast, and they're like, "Oh, he's made it! Look at it! He's made it!" So congratulations, Howard.
Absolutely. All right, camp continues tomorrow, as will we on Sabres Live. Thanks for joining us.